Is social media a threat to your child's safety? It doesn't have to be. That's our discussion on this episode of The Inside Scoop. Hello, and welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm still David Owen. If you find this to be a helpful topic for you and your family, make sure you like, subscribe, and share this podcast with a friend. Of course, make sure you click that notification bell, too, so that you're alerted when episodes are released. Social media can be a wonderful place to learn and get to know people. In fact, if you're watching this episode on YouTube, you're participating in social media now. However, if left unchecked, it can be treacherous, especially for young minds. Here to help us navigate these social media waters is Cobb School's middle school counseling and advisement consultant, Barbara Truluck. Barbara, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me here today.
So, to be clear, you are part of a team. You are not the only person in the counseling office to help, a school counselor's office. Tell us a little bit about your team and what each of you manages.
Right. So I'm a school counseling consultant, but we are a team in the Department of School Counseling. Mm-hmm. So there are three school counseling consultants. There's Lindsay Williams. She is our elementary school counseling consultant. Mm-hmm. I'm the middle school counseling consultant. And then Patty DeSilva is our high school counseling consultant.
Yeah, Patty has been on here, and she is the most animated person I've known in quite a while. She's a wonderful person. But you take on the middle school years, and that is amazing. There are special people doing that. So we all tend to spend a lot of time on our phones, on screens, on computers, laptops, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is that really a problem?
It is. I mean, this is why we developed our social media and digital citizenship presentations for the schools. We had a lot of counselors and principals asking us to come out and speak to parents and really have that education piece on tips and tricks and what we can do to help keep our kids safe. So that's why we developed those presentations, because it really is such an issue now with mm-hmm. social media addiction, cell phone addiction, and all of those things. And parents are increasingly getting concerned about that. So at the elementary level, Lindsay goes out and she speaks to taming the technology monster for the little ones and really helping parents as kids start to get in front of that technology. Mm-hmm. The middle school, I really focus on social media because that's the age that the kids are asking for those social media apps. Yeah. And then Patty, in her presentation, really focuses on the digital citizenship and what that digital identity that you're leaving behind as you go off to high school and college and career, and that digital image that you're leaving. Is that yeah. something that you're going to be proud of in those adult years looking back? So that's why we developed these presentations, to really help support our parents. We've had 1,600 touch points this year.
Well, what does that mean? What's
between,
a touch point?
Between parents coming to our social media presentations and going into the classroom and teaching our lessons to the students.
Okay.
So we're really proud of that program that we've had this year. But it's all addressing that issue of, you know, is it too much, too soon, too fast right yeah. now? And we see so much of it coming out in media. We're finally really having discussions about this and the state of our kids' mental health in this yeah. generation. So
and
it
the
is
pandemic,
important.
I'm sorry, I didn't mm-hmm. mean to interrupt you, but the pandemic kind of emphasized or accentuated all of these little nuances of our social media lives, right? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, everybody went in front of screens, and we knew that, you know, it was too much screen time was an issue, but boy, did we really see that come out in following the pandemic. The biggest issue was that isolation and loneliness. Although kids think that they're connecting with friends online and through the chat, it's not real human interaction. Yeah. And we see that now in really a mental health crisis within our youth.
And it seems to me also it might play into the anxiety of the unknown, because you can have a social interaction, but you're not seeing all of the interactions of other people.
Definitely the loneliness and the isolation. We mm-hmm. see so many kids coming home after school. They throw their backpack down and mm-hmm. go to their room, close the door, and they're just behind those screens. And that is really affecting their mental health. This generation's lost the fine art of communication and knowing how to interact with each other behind the screens. Phone addiction is a real thing. You know, we see some kids, if you take the phone away, have a complete meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that cell phone and technology use can be just as addictive as drugs, as alcohol. It is a real thing.
Like a physiological response to...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Wow. I mean, parents, you know, have told us, and, you know, they're almost afraid to take the phone away because of the meltdown that they're going to have.
The technology monster.
The technology
monster. That's exactly
monster
what you described
that,
earlier.
That we need to tame, absolutely. The FOMO is real, especially with kids in middle school. We see that a lot. So FOMO stands for the fear of missing out. So just that constant having to interact with the phone, not miss anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say in my presentation, back in the day before cell phones, if something were to happen at school, say, you know, you'd have an argument with a friend, or mm-hmm. there would be a breakup, you know, or something
right.
embarrassing
some
happened. Some drama happened. Yeah. You got to go home and take a break from it. Home right. was kind of that safe place. But now it's really stressful for our kids because the minute they get on the bus or get home, it just continues on Snapchat, on the group texts, you know, and everyone continues to talk about it. And a lot of times it just makes it just balloon into a bigger problem.
You never get away from it.
You don't. You do. They can't get away from it. And that's an extra stress for this generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, other things like digital drama, cyberbullying, those are real things. We're seeing an increase of, you know, sexting and, you know, sending inappropriate material back and forth.
And that sort of thing, actually, when it crosses over into that arena, that we're talking criminal acts, and that's a whole different discussion. Probably should have that discussion maybe with our PD here at some point.
Right.
But I mean that's not a small thing, right?
It's not. And you know, kids seem to say, well, everybody's doing it, what's the big deal?
Right.
But it is a big deal. And this is something that we teach and that we need to teach our kids when we have when we give them that cell phone. You know, I say so much preparation goes into teaching our teens how to drive, right? So we have a whole year of learning. They have to learn all the signs. They have to drive with us. They have to take a test. We really need that same preparation before we hand over the technology and cell phones to our kids.
Yeah, with an adult beside them.
That's
when they're learning to drive. That's
mm-hmm.
that's an interesting analogy. I'm not sure. Well, let's go back to the perils that we're talking about. You mentioned sexting. I've also heard of cyberbullying is a term that we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that with one of my children. Not that I've done that to my children. Let me get this right. My children have experienced cyberbullying.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that's difficult to handle because that's a relationship thing.
Right.
And how much control does a school district have over something like that? If say, a classmate cyberbullies a child, mm-hmm. but it's done in off hours, is the school district involved at all in that, or is that a parent-to-parent thing?
It is difficult when it's happening at home, you know. The best thing to do is, and the first thing to do is reach out to the school counselor if your child is being cyberbullied and let them know what's going on.
Okay.
In our presentations, when we talk to parents and students, we always tell them if you are experiencing cyberbullying, to make sure to keep evidence of it. You know, take those screenshots, print it out, because parents may, if it's bad enough, they may need to report it to authorities.
Yeah.
But the school, you know, really can't do anything without evidence.
Sure.
And then we always encourage kids then, after you've saved that material, then block block who's ever, you know, attacking with the cyberbullying. But it is difficult for us. That's why we need parents. We need to partner with parents.
Absolutely.
That they have oversight and have those conversations and making sure that kids are, you know that the parent is the trusted adult, and that if they are experiencing cyberbullying, that they can go to their parent or their guardian, a family member, and tell them what's going on. Because no, you know, authorities, school, we can't do anything if we don't know what's going on.
So you have enumerated several risks. Are there any others that we need to be tuned into for this situation with social media?
A big one with this generation is sleep deprivation.
Yes.
You know, so many kids are coming to school sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did as that I will never regret as a parent was my daughter was a student athlete and she played highly competitive volleyball.
Okay.
And I needed to protect her sleep at night. She needed good rest. So our family rule was no technology in the bedroom after bedtime. And we stayed firm on that all the way through middle school, all the way through high school. Because sleep deprivation is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Our kids use the phone as an alarm clock. They say, well, I have to have that cell phone for alarm clock. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they still make, you know, the old-fashioned alarm clocks. But so many kids sleep with their cell phone under their pillow, and friends are texting them at night. It's, you know, the phone is going off, the light is, and kids just aren't getting good sleep.
Yeah.
And we know that sleep is really the glue that holds humans together.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the mental health crisis with our kids and with teens, is that they're just sleep deprived because they just stay up on the screens all night. So we really need parents to, you know, really empower parents to kind of take back control of that and get the technology out of the bedroom at night after bedtime.
That's a great recommendation right there. So at what age? I've heard lots of things discussed with regard to what's appropriate and what's not. But what age would you say is appropriate for a child, a student, to have a smartphone? Some parents see it as a necessity based on, you know, work and school schedules and keeping in touch and so forth.
Right.
What would you say would be the best time for a child to receive a smartphone?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all kids develop at different stages.
Right.
Some are more mature than others at different ages. So it really depends on their level of responsibility, their developmental level, and their level of maturity. So, you know, to have a social media app, most of the ages are 13 or more. But statistics show us that 90% of 12-year-olds already have social media.
Yeah, how hard is it to check the box that says, I'm 13 or older?
Exactly. I mean,
that's
exactly.
Not really protection right there.
Right. So, again, it goes back to when the parent feels that they are mature enough. Now, there are a couple of great national movements right now. Wait Till 8th is very popular.
Okay.
You can Google Wait Till 8th, and it's parents across the country that are really banding together saying, we're going to wait until after 8th grade and when our teens go on to high school to start with the social media. And then what has recently come out, I just read an article, best practices to wait until 16 for social media apps.
Wow.
So commonsense.org is a great website, and they actually sell phones that are just talk and text. So holding that, you know, ability to get those social media apps until later. So, yeah, research shows us, though, waiting later to get all of that really does benefit kids' mental health.
In all sorts of ways, I'm sure.
Right.
And by having parents kind of bond together in that, you don't have as much, Susie's got a phone. why can't I have a phone?
Yeah, all that peer pressure.
Absolutely. The parents experience it too, right?
That's exactly right. And that's what's been so great to see when we go out to the schools and the parents are coming to our presentations in the evening. Mm-hmm. We've even had some online that parents have come to.
How ironic.
Yeah, right, exactly. But really, they're having those conversations and they're talking to each other. If parents can support parents in your school, in your neighborhood, in your community, and really come together and say, okay, we're all going to do this. We're all going to wait, or we're going to slow things down. It really does help with that pressure of the kids coming home saying, everybody has TikTok, right. You know, and I want it too. But having the parents check in with each other. At one of our presentations, a parent had a great suggestion. They have no social media Sunday in their house.
Oh, wow.
And she shared that out, and other parents were like, we're going to do that too. So hearing from each other and supporting each other through this is really key. You know, I say that this generation of parents, they really have it tough. You know, our parents, our grandparents did not have this extra layer of parenting that had to be done with technology. And it's tough. It's tough to say no. So if parents can support each other, they're going to be better off for it.
So earlier you said something about parents kind of being afraid of taking a phone away or what have you for fear of the technology monster response from the kids. Gaming is also a form of social media, right?
It is now because of the interaction. Anything that where you interact with others through technology and online is considered social media.
Okay. How would that sort of thing be dealt with by parents? Is that, I mean, it seems to me that a lot of parents wouldn't know that you have interaction with potentially total strangers through gaming systems, right?
Well, exactly. And that's where the added layer of danger has come in, is that through the gaming systems, you can interact with virtual strangers that you don't know. That's why we always tell parents best practices that, you know, the kids really only game with their friends that they know in real life, in person, you know.
Or you can go to their house at some point.
Exactly. To keep them safe that way. But it's not just the gaming. It's all of the screens. You think of the iPads. The number one social media site and app for kids and teens is YouTube. So it's not just the gaming, it's really all screens. And the best thing parents can do is get it out of the bedroom, in the family area,
out
in the family
open.
Room, out in the open, exactly, in the kitchen, where you can see what's going on. That's really the best thing. I had a student in my counseling office once. Mom had asked me to talk to her about her phone addiction. And through our conversation, I found out that she had 10,000 followers on TikTok, and this was a sixth grader.
What?
Yes.
Sixth grader with 10,000 followers?
She was very proud of that.
Was she monetizing it?
She was very proud. She was getting all kinds of views on her TikTok and really didn't understand the danger behind that.
Yeah.
So, and then when I had the discussion with Mom, she was shocked. And Mom said, well, I guess I need to monitor this
wait,
more.
Wait, so Mom didn't know she had 10,000 followers?
No. She had no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea. She was in her bedroom, behind the door, making TikTok videos and just racking up the followers. And therein lies the danger. These are strangers.
Yeah.
You know, we tell kids, too, to turn off your location, you know.
Absolutely.
And don't share out your information, your name, your address, your age, where you go to school, because there are predators out there.
Yep.
And keeping them safe is our priority.
Nowadays, kids get off the bus or get home from school, they run upstairs to their bedroom, and close the door, and they're on social media.
Right.
If a child isolates with social media, mm-hmm. is that a warning sign?
Oh, it absolutely is. If they're very secretive, if they're they don't want to show you their phone, what they're doing, that's a red flag. That's a warning sign. You know, it's the same oversight that parents need when we send our kid out to play, right? And so we want to know where are you going? Who are the parents home? Who's the family?
Right.
we want to know all of that. Well, you need to know what they're doing on the phone too. Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that parents can actively stay on top of all of that? I mean, if a child is resistant, warning flag number one,
right?
But are there apps, are there strategies that parents can use to help stay on top of all that?
Absolutely. There's really basically four things. If you're saying, oh no, it's too much, too soon, too fast, how do I reel this back in? How do I start
They've been on social media for a while.
Yes. How do I start setting some boundaries, right? So the very first thing you can do, there are great parental control apps out there. The one that I've recommended in the past that parents have come back, their feedback, they just absolutely love, is called Bark.
Okay.
And so it's bark.us
And we'll make sure the link is in the description and the show notes.
There are others out there that are really good. Net Nanny is another one. But I know that parents have been successful with Bark. You can set all kinds of restrictions on there. You can even turn off, you know, social media apps at night. You download it to your phone, you download it to your child's phone, and you password protect it. And then you're able to monitor what your child is doing on their cell phone. It's great. It's powerful.
Okay, so with an app like Bark, we could turn off the internet, turn off their social media accounts or whatever, but they still have their alarm clock.
That's right.
All right, so that takes away that argument, right?
It does. It does take that away. Yes, they still have the alarm clock feature. But it's just a great monitoring. You can block all kinds of things, like your child downloading, you know, gambling apps, you know, the pornography apps, those type of things. You can set all kinds of parameters on there. And you can even get keywords. If your child is texting a friend and there's some trigger words in there that, you know, that you want to see or know that your child's talking about, it sends you an alert. And then that's when you can say, hey, you know, is everything okay? And open up that conversation. So all the cell phone companies too also have family centers where for a small fee every month, you can also block some things on your child's cell phone. But like I said, Bark is the strongest one that I know of out there.
Wow, good words. Are there any other pearls of wisdom that you can offer those of us parents who are facing kids doing all this social media stuff?
To help roll it back, family contracts, media contracts are really great too. CommonSense.org has family contracts for all ages, for elementary, middle, and high. And having that conversation and just sit your child down and say, you know, we've noticed that you're on the phone a lot. We're concerned. And we're going to put some boundaries in place and have that contract out there and read through the contract with your child. And the one that we used, we actually just even put it up on the refrigerator. And it was just our family contract for social media use. So those are really good to use. The other thing that I want to say is modeling in the home, the adults in the home. You know, kids are going to do
that
what
hurts.
They see. It does. And it's hard. It's difficult to put that phone down, but really modeling that behavior. So not having the phone out at dinner time, you know, make it a family rule. Everybody puts the cell phones down and we actually have conversation. So modeling good behavior.
Yeah.
But nothing takes place and is more important than those critical conversations with your child. And just leaving that line of communication open, should they stumble upon something, that they really can come to you and talk to you about it.
Having that relationship with your child that says, I'm open to hearing problems, challenges, or whatnot, that's all well and good. But what about a child who is actively evading, trying to get around everything that parents do? Because frankly, I think that's maybe 90% of teenagers. I mean, that's just the pushing the boundaries nature.
Yeah.
What are some aspects of that might be helpful for parents to hear.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, technology's changing so fast. It's hard to stay up on everything. There's even, you know, there's some apps out there that look like they disguise, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. So one thing that we talk about in our presentations at the school is the calculator app. So if you are monitoring your child's cell phone and you look at their, like their screen, their home screen, it looks like a calculator, but behind there, kids can hide access to other apps. So for example, if you say, I'm not going to allow TikTok, they can still download TikTok and hide it behind this calculator app.
So it looks like they're calculating their driving mileage or something.
Right, right.
And when you're looking over their shoulder, but right. When you go away, they flip back to TikTok.
That's right, that's right.
Sneaky.
Sneaky.
So sneaky. Mm-hmm. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for all that you've shared with us. I have experienced all sorts of these things that you've discussed today, and I'm sure the parents out there feel likewise appreciative of all that you've shared with us. As a father of seven, I can attest to the challenge of staying on top of this issue. It is not easy. But taking the bold steps to keep our children safe in the cyber world is crucial. The very fact that you've listened this far says a lot about you as a parent or guardian. Someone you know may be wrestling with this issue as well as they parent their children. So think about who you could share this podcast with. As always, thank you for listening to this edition of The Inside Scoop, a podcast produced by the Cobb County School District.